turn down the music. Always fun to hear what music precedes ours. We're ready to go. Alicia just ran in a few seconds beforehand. Yeah, I just outed you. I just threw you under the bus, but I know traffic is crazy.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm dropping things in here. Welcome, welcome to the Aging Well Together show. Excited to get started. And as always, excited for our show. And we have a great show today. I know I always say that, but this is really good. My longtime friend and colleague, the wonderful Carrie Patrick, is here. She's going to be telling us all about a dementia support program through the Durham VA, the Durham Veteran Affairs Health System. It's called the COACH program. I'm excited to catch up with Carrie. We figured out it's been about 20 years we've been friends and colleagues. I'm excited to catch up with her. I'm excited to learn about the COACH program and everything else we're going to learn together. But as always, we love to start our show giving a shout out to WCOMLPFM Chapel Hill Carrboro. We're on 103.5 FM for those of us who are listening on the radio. And many thanks for those of you who are listening to us via the website, WCOMFM.org. We love WCOM for letting us host our weekly Aging Well Together show. And the Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the tremendously helpful team. I need to find more adjectives besides I've done ridiculously, tremendously, fabulously. Feel free to email me more adjectives of love for the Orange County Department on Aging staff and for all of their support of this program. Each week, for those of you who are loyal listeners and those of you who might be new to the program, each week we come together to interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can catch us live every Thursday from 2 to 3, or as I said, you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org, or you can listen to any of our previous shows, because we're super cool and we turn them into podcasts, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is... This is where I take a pause. People get there because I know people are so excited, right, Alicia, for any resource I give. So they get there.
Get a pencil.
Get your pencil and pens out. Get your paper and write down www.orangecountync.gov/aging. On the website, you will find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of other helpful resources all about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have any questions about the resources we discuss on any of the shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, you can either call the Department on Aging at, pick up your pencils and pens, at 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me at agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. That is all one long smushed together word, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. But I know it works because I've gotten some great messages from folks. Thank you all. And we are now like scheduling deep into the fall. So yeah, people keep reaching out with great suggestions. I know. And you heard a tiny bit of music in the beginning, and that is a special grace and appreciation and gratitude to the Carrboro Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great original music for our opening, and you will hear more of it for our closing music. I am thrilled. My fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed. Alicia, how do you feel? You just ran into the studio. Alicia, who is the incomparable, energetic, and inspiring, came up with new adjectives, wellness instructor with the Orange County Department on Aging, and you were just
I have your ears burned. We were talking about you at 6 o'clock this morning in class.
First of all, that you were talking about me at 6 in the morning. I was fast asleep. And you were talking about, you teach a class at 6 a.m.?
Hey, it was a good class.
I'm going to give you a hard time about putting that microphone closer to you.
I'm there.
You teach a class at 6 a.m.? There's a class so early at the senior centers?
I didn't think it opened until. And they're full. This is at the
next Passmore Center. The Sportsplex. But still, 6 a.m., what class were you teaching?
Cycling.
Oh, gosh. Cycling. And so as everyone was huffing and puffing.
Okay, so I'm glad to be here, Heather, and I'm glad that you're here, too. We have a great guest today.
Oh, gosh, there's the energetic and inspiring.
We have a great guest today.
I still can't get over the 6 a.m.
I know.
That's why I said you are energetic and inspiring wellness instructor with the Orange County Department on Aging. You always also teach at Sportsplex. All right, I will do
it. And we'll get her in class. Maybe not at 6.
I know. Carrie, you'll learn an ongoing sub-theme of this show is to try to get me more active, moving.
And she's even had guests on that.
Oh, we have exercise physiologists, exercise scientists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, all kinds of MOVE folks. And I'm sure we might talk about it today in terms of good work
for
memory support. Yeah, I know.
And she's your friend, so you know you got to come on.
Get me going, Carrie. All right, let me do a quick shout out about me, and then we're going to go all into Carrie. For those of you who don't know, I'm Heather Altman. I am your host. I have spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I'm focusing on my own changing needs. So I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. Speaking of aging, I don't think my sister is listening from Boston, but it's her birthday today.
My brother's birthday, too.
Really? Gemini?
Six.
Happy birthday to our lovely siblings. We adore you, and so we are all aging well together. All right, poor Carrie has just been looking at this. She has no idea what she agreed to here.
Oh, but it's fun.
All right, I am welcoming my old friend who just did a cross of support, Carrie Patrick. Carrie is a licensed clinical social worker. She is the coach program director. See, here's that word coach, and she'll tell us all about what that means. She is also the geriatrics social work supervisor. And Carrie, I'm not sure if you remember this, but when we first met, and it was about 20 years ago, you told me you were going to be a geriatric social worker until you were a geriatric social worker. And we've aged 20 years together, and you're on your way. But anyway, welcome, Carrie Patrick. Yay!
Thank you.
You have some time, so.
I know.
You haven't hit it yet.
No, I'm getting pretty close. I'm hitting it now.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. We are all, and as I like to complain, even though this is, nobody can feel what's happening in the studio, but this studio, I keep complaining, it's hot in here. I'm a woman of a certain age, and it's hot in here. All right. See, we like to keep it light here, Carrie. We want to learn all about the coach program, but before we do, we have a routine here, which is we like to ask our guests to tell us a little bit about yourself, tell us about your professional and personal journey, kind of like where you're from and what motivated you to get into aging and even dementia work.
Okay. Thank you. I wasn't quite prepared for that, but I love talking about myself, so let's go.
Yeah.
So I was born in Roanoke, Virginia, which is in the Blue Ridge Mountains. I was born in kind of an older family, so I think I think my parents were in their 40s when they had me, and so everyone around me was old. And so I think they were old. I just developed a real appreciation and enjoyment of being with older adults. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I would go around and visit all the older people in the neighborhood, and I volunteered at the nursing home in my hometown and my neighborhood. So it was something that came very naturally to me, mm-hmm. and I gravitated back to it in college and continued on through my master's degree in social work. So it's really been a lifelong passion. I took a brief break from it, but went back to it. And it still is something that I find really meaningful and purposeful. I found that I really loved working with people with mm-hmm. dementia. I had a grandparent that had dementia, and my own father, mm-hmm. who was a veteran, also had dementia. And I know you remember because I was working with Heather when he passed away.
I didn't want to tell your story, but I knew there was a real personal connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course Heather was wonderful and supportive at a time I really needed that in the workplace. Mm-hmm. But it was very, you know, he got some great support from the VA at the time. And so this job that I'm in now with the coach program, caring for older adults and caregivers in the home, is really something that I hold close to my heart.
Well, and I knew that I knew you had such a personal connection to dementia. And I think I've loved you for so many years, and then we didn't see each other for a number of years, but whenever I see you, you just exude warmth and compassion and support, and I wonder now where some of it came from. And I wonder if your own experiences having your dad have dementia kind of helped to put you on that pathway. And I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. I remember it was my dad's mother who had dementia, and I remember visiting her in nursing homes, and it got to a point where she wasn't particularly verbal, but I remember sitting and interacting with her and communicating with her, and I really do think that's what started it. And then with my dad, although I went through a lot of the emotions, mm-hmm. and up and down that a lot of people do who have a loved one with dementia, just a lot of anticipatory grief and mm-hmm. loss, I think in some ways it allowed us to have, as I became a helping caregiver, I wasn't his full-time caregiver, a deeper connection, mm-hmm. a more spiritual connection.
Well, yeah. This is sending me back to those times when we were together, and just, I am not a trained social worker. People think I am, but I come mm-hmm. from public health. I joke around. No, I talk. I don't listen. But oops. But I remember we would talk about that emotion, and I remember how to be supportive of someone and kind of be alongside them, but not take on their emotion. I remember we would talk about being around people with anger and how you have to be comfortable around people with anger, and I'm not, and comfortable around grief and comfortable around those things, and yet not be able to stay stable and neutral while someone else is sort of to help them through that. Anyway, so I'm thinking through all these great lessons. And I should have said in the introduction, because I know that you are a social worker, but I also look at you as an educator, as so much of your work. And so I guess educate us now. We'll go back. We'll infuse more about you into this, but tell us about the coach program. I knew nothing about it. Carrie and I bumped into each other at a Veterans Affair caregiver resource fair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Carrie, what are you doing? What's this program? Oh, my goodness. Come on the radio show. That's pretty much what happened. But tell us about the coach program. And what does it mean again? You kind of said it before. Alicia, let's get our pens out.
So yeah. I know.
Coach.
Yeah, so it stands for Caring for Older Adults and Caregivers at Home.
I like it.
And it's really, when I learned about coach, it's really kind of what drew me to the VA. Because I had a good friend who's worked for the VA for years, and she's like, oh, you should come to the VA. And I would look, and I'd say, yeah, it really doesn't really match my skill set or my interest, a lot of the jobs that were available. But when I saw this, I was like, oh, you know, this could be something that I could really connect with.
It seems like a great job for you. And that it links to I didn't realize your dad was a veteran. So.
Yeah, he was stateside, but during the Korean conflict. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a very unique program. It's innovative. It was started in 2010 by a social worker, Judith Davenino, mm-hmm. and a geriatrician, Dr. Jack Tversky. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially, it's a longitudinal home-based program. So makes us very unique. Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. used to be, you know, people go to a clinic setting and they get a diagnosis and they get support and education, not, you know, in their homes. Mm-hmm. So this program was developed so they wouldn't have to come and be transported somewhere, and we might see someone who might be agitated or a caregiver who's stressed because of that, having to go long distances to a clinic. Mm-hmm. And you can see them in their home environment. The person and environment is so important. So you can see, you know, what is the house calm, or is it a little chaotic? Mm-hmm. Is there a loving aging pet, you know, there. What does it look like? So that really helps us be very centered, patient-centered. Mm-hmm. And then when we're talking about our interventions or the things that can help them on their journey, I feel like we have a better understanding than not really understanding what their home environment is like.
Well, I already, Carrie can see me scribbling down. One of the things that's, I don't know if whether it's innovative or just impressive, is that, and I work with folks with dementia and who are caregiving for their loved ones with dementia, and so many times I hear stories that they're in the doctor's office, they get a diagnosis or they get an update, and then, you know, of how they're doing with their brain change, but then that's it. They're not even getting support in the clinic. And I've heard some interesting, maybe, I don't know if this is provocative or controversial. We'll get a little philosophical here. A few months ago, I was reading something, and they said, there was some question about, is dementia, it's clearly a biological disease, but they're like, it's a lifestyle impact. Like, it impacts your life, you know, everything. And so we can address it clinically, but we also need to address every aspect of the life. So that's a weird transition of saying, I love any additional support besides a diagnosis, and that you bring it to the home is really fascinating. And then what happens? So you go, like, who comes to the home? Now I'm going to get all, like, who comes to the home for how long is it? You know, do you go? Or are you sending other folks?
Oh, I wish I went. I miss going. So I'm stuck in an office now. Mm. But I
Carrie's Carrie Patrick's bosses. Let her get out of the office.
No, she wants some field work.
Yeah. But we have a great team who does. So our model is actually a social model. It's not a medical model. We're essentially, you know, just going back to the goals of our program, and that kind of explain the services we provide.
I was going to say, because you just walked into a question. What is a social model?
So the goals is to improve the quality of life with veterans with dementia and their caregiver.
And then, I love that. Yeah. Right there, I love the addition of caregiver. I'm just going to keep interrupting. Okay, I won't interrupt
No,
anymore.
No, no.
No social work training. But I love, because I do so much with caregivers, I love that. And I also love that the focus on the person with dementia, because then there's other programs that are just for caregivers. So, okay, keep going.
Yeah, that is our unit of care, the veteran with dementia and the caregiver. And so we want to improve dementia care management in the home. We want to increase safety in the home. Mm-hmm. We want to reduce caregiver stress, and we want to for as long as possible, keep people in their home and avoid institutionalization. Mm-hmm. Because of the belief that, you know, there are a lot of great places. We know Carol Woods, where we both work, is a wonderful place.
That's where we met each other.
A lot of great places. But for the most part, most people want to be at home. Mm-hmm. Most people want to die at home. And this is kind of a goal of our program. Mm-hmm. And our dyad, the people who end up going out in the home, is a nurse and a social work team. So we usually get a consult from either the primary care provider, mental health provider, or a social worker. And we go out, you know, we'll reach out to the veteran and the caregiver, make sure they want our program and they understand our program. And then we go out and do a very extensive assessment in the home, come back, develop a plan of care, and then continue on with home visits, telehealth visits, or telephone visits throughout the year. So we usually follow up at 1 month quarterly. We have a 6 month home visit and an annual home visit.
Okay.
And the focus of that is just to provide support, education, care coordination, anything that we can to help people on this journey. Because I found that in my own situation, it was a very, you know, there's a lot of stigma still with dementia, and people try to, and it's hard to accept that you have it. So it can be very isolating for people. Mm-hmm. And so you have a team of people who are there to kind of walk on that journey with you. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so, I was just with a caregiver yesterday, I think it's so isolating for the caregiver themselves. I'm going to add another word besides stigma. This, it may or may not be appropriate, but martyrdom. Like, that I need to, you know, I'm for sickness and in health, I'll take care of my spouse and I'll do it all alone. And, you know, that, but there's a limit to what someone can do. And also people need sleep at some point, you know, when folks need 24/7 care. And this issue of, you know, we talk about, and Tipa Snow was just on the show last week, you know, talking about broadening the circle of support as opposed to making it so small. So I want to, I have all these questions. So I'm trying to think about, I want to talk about the services you provide. I think first we'll talk about who's eligible for it. Mm-hmm. And then let's get into, like, I really want to dive into these home visits and the types of resources. So I'm just warning you now. You're going to get, what about, or tell me about.
Yeah, I'm glad you're helping me, because I'll go all over the place. So to be eligible for the program, you have to be, and in true VA fashion, there's always exceptions to things.
I know. We've had a whole show. Listeners, if you want to know more, I don't know, it was about 10 shows ago, we had the Veterans Affairs Caregiver Resource Programs.
Right.
And it talked all about the different ways that you're eligible or ineligible. And it was like after an hour, it was like, just call your veteran service officer and caregiver and see and all the forms. And so do you have that complicated eligibility as
definitely
well?
Definitely not. Ours is a little simpler. Goodness. But so our program is for people who have moderate to severe dementia, usually 65 or older, although we do make exceptions for people who have early onset dementia, as long as, you know, their functional needs and you know, we do a screening. It meets that criteria. You have to have a caregiver living in the home. Once again, we've had some exceptions at the beginning, like if you have a bunch of family kind of all around.
Yeah, if your daughter's really living close, right next door,
those kind of things. We've had some exceptions, but eventually someone's usually got to go into the home as the disease progresses. Have to not have any other home-based programs. Like, we have home-based primary care. We have hospice, so that would make you ineligible because it's a duplication of services.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
And then you have to be, for our home-based program where people come to the home, you have to be within the 50-mile radius of Durham, Greenville, and Moorhead City healthcare systems.
I saw that. That's a big radius. And just to make sure listeners caught that, it's 50 miles. That's a big, so not 15. So, okay, that's a nice radius of the three different places. I talked over you. I'm sorry. Durham,
Moorhead City, and Greenville. So we have health, you know, like a CBOC and Moorhead City and a health
CBOC
system. It's our acronyms, but it's just a medical institution in Moorhead City clinic. And then, so those kind of things, 50-mile radius, which is great. But for those people who are outside the 50-mile radius, we now have telehealth.
I saw that. Yeah. I read your brochure. So it's, you will visit your home if it's within 50, but over 50 will still provide something.
Yeah, and we do VVC visits, and we have a great
VVC
team.
Yeah,
that's a video connect. So, you know, if someone's got, we provide iPads, and we have a great team who knows how to troubleshoot all those things for people who might not be very good at using technology. And then our team is really wonderful. They're highly skilled in kind of like removing that wall. It's almost like they're there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. And so it doesn't have that complicated of like you have to have a service related injury and all of those things. It's if you were a veteran.
Yeah. There's no service connection. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask another question. Then, Alicia, I realize I am hogging the microphone. So if you want to jump in, my friend, just jump in. But I'm going to talk about cost. Like, who pays for it? And, you know, are these our government
Medicare,
dollars?
Medicare, Medicaid, any of that acceptable?
So for most people, they wouldn't have a fee. I think some people might have a copay, but for most of our people who are receiving services, they're not going to receive a bill for our services, which is good.
Is it that because now I'm going to geek out a little bit on reimbursement codes.
Right.
Is it that it's going through a VA program, or is it that it's going through Medicare has their own reimbursement codes for comprehensive care management? Is it billed through kind of those Medicare codes, and that's why there's no charge, or is it a VA benefit?
That is out of my wheelhouse. I'm sorry. I can't answer that. I should be
good
able to
know.
But we do use those codes.
All right. Well, the key is that people generally, they don't pay out of pocket.
Yeah.
That there's other funding.
And you
to
find a
them.
Way to not turn them away.
We try to serve everybody who meets those basic criteria. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as long as they are open to our services, mm-hmm. That's what, you know, they feel like they benefit from, mm-hmm. from the interventions that mm-hmm. we provide. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, staying on this cost, and I won't ask another, like, reimbursement, but I know with the folks that I work with, and I try to share a lot of services, but then it goes on to, well, a lot of these services, there are some free services, but also then, you know, more caregiving support, there's a cost to it. So do you help them understand the resources and services, but then they have to either pay privately for it or link them into some other program? Because I'm thinking things like more hands-on direct care, bringing that in.
Yeah, so care coordination is a big part. So there's so many things available through the VA. Mm-hmm. Like we have a home health aid program, you know, mm-hmm. for health respite. They get a benefit. They can get a benefit for adult day health program. Mm-hmm. So that's for respite. There's funds for respite for institutional respite, like going to a nursing home, mm-hmm. For people that we have contract with. There are HISA grants, so if they need some home modifications to their home. So that is...
Well, HISA is...
Is that housing?
It's like a home improvement.
Oh,
yeah.
Got it.
So it's things like you need to widen, you know, your doorways. You need
ramp,
to have
need
a ramp.
Mm-hmm.
You need to improve access to your bathroom.
Okay.
And then there's just a ton of DME and other equipment.
Durable medical equipment. It's like a fun alphabet soup here. Yeah, so if you need a walker, or you need a shower, or stool, or things... So it sounds like the social worker and nurse team come in. They must be sort of brilliant, and they must know everything to be like, okay, we, knowing this person, what would they, kind of a little bit like what we talked about on the radio show, like what would they be eligible for, mm-hmm. what VA benefits or other things, and then helping to bring all that in.
Yeah. So we often will say, you know, we think that you might be able to get a higher service connection. Now, that is all the veteran, you know, that's like the, you know, for finance and mm-hmm. healthcare are very separate in the VA.
Okay.
So that's when we do send them to their VSO to look at their service
their
connection.
Their veteran service officer.
Yes.
So, I know there is so much. Sorry.
Right. So it's, you do a lot of referral.
Yeah.
If you,
it's referral within
to the alphabet,
the VA,
I'm
to all the acronyms. Yeah. And I'm sorry. You know, when I was first started at the VA, I was like, what does that mean? I'm always looking up, and they actually have an acronym list, a VA
acronym. Oh, I'm sure they do.
But,
and don't
but
even apologize. I think when our guests, Jeff and Josh, were here, like, they would even talk about, and they were like, well, there's a lot of that. And we were like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about.
We do a lot of referencing to them if that person can't get everything from you.
Yeah, and we also, we're really good about knowing what the community resources are.
Okay.
And their county and what's available to them. So our social workers also will make recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, we have so much available at the VA, a lot of it can stay in-house, but which is wonderful, and it's well-deserved for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But we also... know that sometimes we have to link them with things in the community, and there's a lot there.
And there's a lot here. I mean, we're one of your areas, and thank you. I think this is a good... Someone asked if we do commercials on the show, and I went, no, we don't have commercial breaks, but then let's add our, like, Orange County Department on Aging, you know, commercial break.
That's a public service announcement.
I know. That's a PSA, public service announcement that I would think you'd work. When I met you, the Orange County Department on Aging had a table two over, so I would think being aware of the programs that they have, and unlike just a basic referral, because there's this ongoing visits, then mm-hmm. they can follow up and see how did that go.
Yeah, so they always look and see, you know, how did this go? We recommended this. How did that work? Oh, did that work? You know, just that flexibility, because not everything works for everybody. Mm-hmm. So this didn't work. Let's try this. So it's that ongoing relationship. Some people have been in the program for many, many years. In terms of discharges, this is a little dark, but most of our discharges are because of a death. Mm-hmm. And so that means they've died at home the way they wanted
successful
to.
In the That's sense that they stayed with you throughout the program. And you had said it was first developed in 2010. So is that, have you been, so it's been, I can do math, that's simple math, 14 years or about that you've been operational. So
yeah,
you have some experience with it.
Yeah, this has been a very successful program. It's got, a lot of accolades. It's been replicated in four other VAs. It's not at every VA.
That's a great question. Mm. Is this just a North Carolina thing, or do they have this nationally?
So they got some grant money, and they were able to duplicate the program at the Richmond VA, Columbia, Missouri, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lexington, Kentucky.
Whoa!
So we have had some expansion, and our hope is to continue to expand it because it's so needed. Mm-hmm. There just needs to be a little bit more work before we do that.
How much work are you, or attention are you giving the caretaker?
So that is we give a lot of support to the caregiver, and I thank you for getting me back on that.
I was wondering because they're there to the end.
They need a lot of support, so we provide a lot of education, setting realistic expectations. Mm-hmm. We talk about the progression of the disease. We help try to anticipate, what might happen next. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of one-on-one education and emotional support. We also offer support groups. So
that's good, because you don't want to go from aid to hospice.
And
the caretaker is there all alone, and she's not getting anything but here to hospice.
Yeah, no, they get a lot of support. So we see them after admission. We see them 1 month. We check in 1 month, mm-hmm. and then quarterly, and then we do a home visit at 6 months, and then a year. And they know that anything dementia related, mm-hmm. because we're working in support with the primary care team, not in place of it, mm-hmm. that they can call us and reach out to us at any time. And our team is wonderful. They take all those calls. They'll make those visits that are unplanned to support the caregiver. They just to provide a tremendous amount of support for them.
Well, and that's great. And I'm debating, because I really want to get into some more of the meat of the types of issues, but then I'm like, is there anything else about the program itself? So you're run by the Durham VA. So that's who pays you all. So it's the Durham VA health system. And then there's no charge for folks, it sounds like. We talked about that. And then can people directly call you and say, hey, I'd like to be a part of it? Or, because you had talked about the kind of referral pathway goes through their primary care provider or social worker, but like any of our listeners, because we're in your area, in your catchment area. Could they just call you all and say, hey, I'd like to be considered for this program?
Yeah.
I'm a veteran.
So you have to be in some way connected to the healthcare system, because the way it works is that we work in coordination with the primary care team.
Okay.
So
if they're getting primary care from UNC or from a private doctor's office, if they're a veteran that hasn't gotten connected with the VA, well, I don't understand the VA.
Yeah. There's some people who have outside providers, mm-hmm. but there has to be some connection, because we're a program that just focuses on dementia care. So we've got to have, we've got to have a physician who's going to help supporting those orders, because a lot of times when we'll go out, we'll make a recommendation for physical therapy. Mm-hmm. We'll make a recommendation for occupational therapy.
It's a nurse. So I'm also asking, are they doing like medication checks and things like that, so I can see why it's got to be a direct link back to the primary care.
Yeah, and all so right. We don't do formal medication reconciliation, mm-hmm. but they do spend a lot of time looking at who administers the medication, how it's being administered.
Can you pick up your meds?
Yes.
Can you afford your meds? I would think.
Yeah. What type of meds are in the home versus what's on the list on the medical record? Mm-hmm. So they're doing a lot of that's an area that we really focus on. Even though our nurses are not necessarily providing nursing care, they're dementia dementia care specialist, just like our social workers are.
So are they there more as a educator and helping people understand what's going on in the brain change process?
Yes. Okay. But they have this very unique perspective. The social worker is going to see things from the social work, you know, eyes, and the nurse is going to see it. And they're both they're both equally valid and important.
Mm-hmm. It's like me and you, Alicia. We see, we're both staring at poor Carrie is going back and forth like a tennis match. It's like we see things from different perspectives. I feel like you were about to ask something, my friend.
No, go ahead.
All right.
That was good. I was good.
Okay. Well, I did think, speaking of PSAs, because we'll do this at the end, but maybe now is a good time for the coach PSA, which is public service announcement, because I try to do this at the end, but it's always good to do in the middle. If people want to learn more about the coach program, listeners, take out your pens and your paper. Where should they go to? Should they call? Is there a website?
Yeah. So you would call... you could just call me.
What's your home phone number?
I'll give you that.
Your social security number? That'd be great.
Last four digits.
Wait, is that another show, I think? Senior scams.
What if you... Okay, you're going to answer that on top of that with your number. What if you wanted to be a part of it?
You mean a veteran?
Like a participant?
A participant?
Or a worker?
A worker.
Oh, I knew you were going... Alicia... Carrie, you have to understand, there's another through line. Alicia, every program that comes on that has volunteers, Alicia's like, so Alicia became a long-term care ombudsman. She's like a master gardener. Any program that has a volunteer, she's like, I'll sign up for this. Senior games.
I know, but.
All right.
No, suppose someone wanted to volunteer.
All right. So, yes, Carrie.
As you give us your number.
Yeah. So, I'll give you my phone. This is the Durham VA phone number.
Okay.
So, it's 919-286-0411, and my extension is 17611.
Oh, that's a lot.
17611.
Oh, wait, I talked over it. Okay, so it's 919-286-0411. And then
17615.
Yeah, ooh. Just kept going 176115. I thought we were done, and then she had it. Okay,
yeah,
that's
we keep you on your toes. And then also we have a program support assistant, and I'll give you that number. That's just extension 175161.
You're like, that's a lot of numbers. So, and there's no website.
We
get you a website. Well, there's something. What am I looking at down there? There's a website.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's a Facebook group.
We really don't have a website, but we have brochures and pamphlets and things like that.
All right. Well, if people like me who want to stalk you all, I mean, you were great. You emailed me information, but all right. So give a call. And for those who are interested, I want to get into some of the issues now. I think we've gone through the program, but what I love to hear is, especially as we were starting to talk about caregivers, but what are the kinds of topics that your nurse and your social work find? Because we were just talking about your nurse is more of a nurse educator. Mm-hmm. They're not there as a kind of a clinical visit.
Right.
What are the top, I mean, clearly it's about dementia, but what are the big topics that people want to talk about?
Yeah, I think a big issue is definitely dementia-related behaviors, because that's always the most stressful for the caregiver, and distress, it can be very distressing for the person with dementia. So we spend a lot of time providing education and support and coaching about with evidence-based interventions. So you mentioned TIPA Snow.
I was going to say, do you link with, because that was all last week's show, is really understanding how the brain is changing. And so stop yelling and arguing with people. Let's yell. Stop yelling and arguing with people with brain change.
So we don't just utilize and we don't endorse just one person approach. But of course, the positive physical approach is such an important thing. So it's letting, you know, caregivers know that a person with dementia, they might not be able to necessarily understand what you're saying to them or have context with what's going on because their reality is not your reality. Mm-hmm. So the way you approach it in a very positive way, in a friendly way, and not showing the stress that you might be feeling, you're going to get a lot less resistance with care. We do think a lot of non-pharmacological interventions. We encourage reminiscence. We encourage music therapy. We encourage meaningful engagement and activities. Mm-hmm. So things, and we have an occupational therapist on our team who's really, really
that.
Good.
I think I'm going to take the brochure
back. Coming in and helping, you know, like it's kind of a Montessori method, right? Meeting the person where they are. They might have enjoyed doing something, but they can't do it the way they used to. So is there any way to change our approach so they can still engage in the thing that they enjoy or modify it? And what type of support do we have to provide?
You know, I was talking to, well, you don't know this, also I will say that. It's like a teenager, like, you know. I was talking with a gentleman yesterday about his wife, and his wife used to be just a really, a big singer and would do a lot of choruses and choirs and things like that and would go and travel around. And we talked about how she's not singing anymore with that group, but I'm like, but what about other singing? What about, you know, like if there was music, would she sing a lot? And he's like, you know, I got to think about more about that. So it was like, given it was such an interesting part of her life, how do we reintroduce music and singing?
Way.
And yeah. So anyway, it's just, it's amazing. And that point where people, that
didn't
permission to be
that.
Creative.
Right. Creative. Because he didn't connect that. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good way to think.
I was like, huh, okay, go on.
Do you find that?
Does your staff have those aha moments where they're helping someone? Oh, well, if they loved gardening, well, let's do some modified gardening.
Right.
Let's
look at some soil or go look at some plants that are.
They certainly do encourage, you know, it's important to use what skills people have so they can maintain. It is a progressive illness, but if they can maintain some level of activity and engagement, that helps a lot with maintaining function.
Mm-hmm. Like quilting, and you go look at threads or fabrics. You
see,
know?
Alicia and I are just going to brainstorm this the whole time.
Yeah, I was just wondering, how do you connect?
Yeah.
Well, there's the behavioral and the recreational, and then there's also, I'm wondering how much, and feel free to come back and bring your other staff members here, too, because I am curious how much is, I would put more on a therapy or communication, because you're dealing with husbands and wives, you're dealing with maybe children and their parents, you know, adult children, their parents. And so you go into their 60 years of dynamic with each other.
Absolutely.
And I watched some interactions recently where they're, remember, you can't do this, or why do you always, you know, where you get into this communication style that may not be the most peaceful.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I wonder how much they're doing therapy.
Right. I would wonder, because my brother, I hope he's not listening.
The brother whose birthday
it
is today?
It's no, not him. His mother, you know, she had to be put in a facility. That's a horrible thing to say.
Well, yeah, she needed a more supportive community.
She needed more support. But he couldn't deal with it at all.
Yeah.
He just cut the relationship.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
And because he couldn't deal with it. He didn't know how to communicate. He didn't know. She didn't recognize him after having such a close bond.
Yeah.
That's painful.
So, you know.
Yeah, I think that grief
for family,
is,
you know, it's such, different.
It's very different.
How do we get, I mean, like you were saying, that do we train them? I mean, not train them, but do they help the family?
Yeah
to help the caregiver kind of rethink their approach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big, it's setting those expectations, providing education about this is what this means at this time of the disease. These are the deficits. These are the things that we see. And this is what you can do about it. You might not be able to speak in full sentences. You might just have to say, use nonverbals and use very short directive sentences.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might need to not give a demand. You might have to give a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to do creative things in terms of the environment. You know, don't let them go into their closet and try to pick out something with a closet full of things.
Yeah. Put an outfit or two outfits on the bed. Would you want this shirt or this shirt?
So that's a big part of what they do.
Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're training. I'm not training, but everybody's learning.
Well, I think
everybody's
it's okay to say
learning.
Training. And I think it's okay, right? The nurse and the social worker are helping to train the family members.
Mm-hmm.
And because we talked about this last week, that these are not, this is not just basic common sense,
mm-mm.
like, oh, well, you'll just figure it out.
Mm-mm.
No, these are skills that need to be taught. This is an awareness of how the brain is changing and how we're going to change our approach. And I feel like I'm such a novice in it. So I know enough to know there's so much I don't know about better approaches and that people need that, or they just think,
close down.
It's not their brain. They've been treating me like I'm 15, you know.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Yeah.
He's just being stubborn. And
when we get stressed, our flexibility lessons, right? So stress and flexibility don't always go hand in hand. So that's what, you know, our clinicians are there for. Like, hey, have you considered this? Or would you be willing to try that? And they're just so skilled at it. But under the basis of that is a really therapeutic relationship.
Well, and so I'm trying to think, yeah, this is so neat. And I don't want to ask you a question where you're like, I don't know. But I'll put it broadly. So you've been doing this for more than 10 years, the coach program. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure there's been some evaluation, or I don't know what you track. Uh-huh. But I am curious about, do you track the types of referrals people most often need, or the types of issues you're seeing that people are struggling with that would just be fascinating for me to know.
Yeah.
Do you track it in order to just tell Heather what is happening? I'm sure someone else wants to know.
I want to know.
You know, we kind of, what we track a lot is based on what our mission and goals are.
Okay.
So if we're to reduce caregiver stress, we're tracking using, you know, an inventory to track how well we are addressing caregiver stress. If our goal is to keep people in the home for as long as possible with an indicator that they're dying at home, that's something that we've tracked and we've shown success at.
Mm-hmm.
So we do track. We put stuff in a database all the live long day, or we have our wonderful program support program assistant who does that. And then because we want to show that we're not just doing this because it's hearts and, you know, hugs, that it really is an effective way.
I'll be provocative. I don't try to be provocative.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I know I did. Well, because I had this whole conversation yesterday about this issue about staying at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether is that a success measure or not. If it is, if I think people can stay at home successfully and it doesn't create a crazy amount of caregiver burnout. But I was with a caregiver yesterday, and we were talking about this issue, and this person is frailer health themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that a nurse friend was like, look, you really don't try to do this yourself. And they're both deep in their 80s and they're struggling, and there's enough finances, just enough to be able to go somewhere, but the amount of cost, what people don't realize is it's really expensive to bring in 24/7 home care support. You bring in home, and we've had other shows on this, you bring in home care support for 2 or 3 hours a day, or, you know, usually 3 to 4 hours with minimum, or 4 hours every few times a week.
Right.
That's less expensive. But when you need 24/7, that's really expensive. And that is what is in the future. And he doesn't have the physical capability, and his wife's still going to be progressing. And so this issue, he's like, should I try to? I've been wanting to stay at home, but people say that that's, you know, it's going to be too hard for me. And I was like, I kind of agree. I mean, I knew in their situation. So I sometimes have a kind of a physical reaction or mental to this staying at home because if there's a tremendous amount of support and there's the resources to provide, but frailing at home, so the caregiver's complete, like, I have so many caregivers crying with me and completely exhausted, and they can't do it 24/7.
Right. Yeah. I think that is a great point. I think
take it up with management. Yeah.
I really do. And you're right. So being patient-centered, or like, we're age-friendly, you know, hospital, is really kind of looking at a person's values and the person's goals. And so we're also there to support that. You know, what matters to them? What is valuable to them? So
if
someone says to us, our goal is to keep my husband or my father at home, then we're all about that. But eventually, in our program, sometimes they have to go. Your caregiver is frail, they're sick, sometimes our caregivers die.
Yeah.
I mean, so what, you know, situations change. And no, you don't want to be in a situation where you're trapped as a caregiver.
Well, and that's why I would challenge the evaluation metric that it's success if people stay at home, and because the opposite of that would be a failure if they don't stay at home.
Yeah.
And really, I actually look at that as a success if it's a smooth transition. And, trying to broaden that conversation, what's your goal? Is your goal to be together? Mm-hmm. Well, where can you both be together? But if you're together fighting all the time, or angry or exhausted or hurt, or as I spoke yesterday, if you're together and all you're doing is the tangible care as opposed to enjoying each other, like singing together, as helping each other in the bathroom.
Right, they don't recognize each other.
So anyway, clearly I'm on my own soapbox about this, and I don't want to be an over... I just... I'd rather see issues of about affordability and accessibility and better quality care with more supportive communities,
right.
because I think this is a team sport. Mm-hmm. And having been a 24/7 caregiver myself, it's a team sport.
Right.
And I would not have done it if it wasn't a pandemic. And so I see all these other, and I see folks who are like, I want them staying at home. And then they call me in distress and say,
right.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's okay. I will challenge that metrics.
Well, I think that.
I like the caregiver stress. If they're happy.
Yeah. I just think it's really just focused on their goals, right?
Exactly.
So that is one metric that we use, but not that
She's
all.
Like, I love Carrie. We've had so, it's been too many
this
years
is,
since we've had
is,
the conversations.
Yeah, we've had lots of conversations.
And
like
she's
this in
so,
our past.
She manages me so good. And that she's like, all right, so what are other, and I love the caregiver stress indicator. What are other ways that you feel like issues that are important to share? Because we have about 6 minutes left. So I want to make sure that you've shared either the big topic areas or the resources.
Yeah, I guess one thing I want to talk about, you know, our broader team. So our broader team is a geriatrician who's our medical director. We have a consulting geriatric psychiatrist and pharmacist.
Oh, okay.
And then,
which is impressive. I will say there is such a need. I got 5 requests for geriatric psychologists and psychiatrists in the past few months. It is very hard to find. So
yes.
This is a.
They're
I
all
mean,
booked.
They're booked up, and we need more folks. And actually, you know, Carrie, you got a good gig going, feel free to go into private practice. People need this terribly, so I'm glad that they get this through this program. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, and we also have an occupational therapist. So I didn't want to forget them, but our pharmacist does a thorough chart evaluation and
so
looks
important.
At like reducing pill burden, making sure they're on the right kind of medication, doesn't increase the risk for falls or more confusion.
When to take it.
Yeah. Are we working in, you know, like with the nurse reports, are they taking it in the right way?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a very valuable part of our program too.
Well, it really is. And we're just going to call it Heather's Rant Show. We don't have time for this, but also there's a lot of different kinds of dementia. And so I've heard some issues lately where people are taking a medication that maybe would work better for someone that has Alzheimer's and having it go with someone who has a different kind of like a vascular dementia. And folks are like, no. Different things are happening in the brain. And so there's a whole umbrella of terms and diagnoses under dementia. And so these drugs. And so I love that there's a pharmacist, a geriatrician, a geriatric psychiatrist, all those folks to say, even with the pharmacological, wait, are we treating this right? Because I've heard stories recently. Like, these are like stories that just happened in the past few weeks. Not with your program.
Absolutely not.
No.
That's what we're there to combat against. So, so there are times when geriatric, psychiatric care and medications can be very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But we try, I think the best way is the non-pharmacological approaches that we try. And then
I'm a fan of Botepa, and we were talking about it last week. I'm a fan of better living by chemicals as my
too.
Blood test, so I cannot be a hypocrite. But yeah, I
time
do
to
think
go to sleep.
I'm personally not against it, but I don't know if it's the best. Evidence doesn't show that it's the best for people.
It's time to wake up.
With
time
dementia.
To go to sleep.
And that's my fear when I have dementia, which I'm sure I will have, is that they'll take me off other meds, and I'll be like, but no, I was on it for so long. Don't take me off that. Sorry, go on.
No.
We'll deal with that offline, all my fears. I have a lot of fears. Things I'm like, don't love to eat, that I'm scared that people will, or that don't have a good reaction, that they'll give to me. I'm going to have Matt make a whole list. Like,
don't give
me,
this to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just want to also focus on our safety. So we really do focus on safety. And couple of the things I think is important. We talk about driving a lot and when is the right time to give up driving, which is the hardest thing
Here's
for
my
people.
Fake Southern or my adopted Southern. Bless your heart. That is not
I say but I'm not really doing it. It's our poor clinicians that are out there.
We love
one.
You, Carrie's
yeah.
team.
Yes, that's
and
a tough
listening.
One.
And then our guns access. So
wow,
we
didn't
get
even
out.
Think
we,
of that.
Yeah. We need and veterans have been trained
right.
in gun.
I didn't even,
so out of all the people, I mean, there's a lot of people with the guns. That's you on your show, Afternoon Talk with Alicia, feel free to have a conversation on too many guns. But actually the folks that I think, you know, those who have military backgrounds who've been trained on it, so I would think that would be, I've tough heard a little one. Bit about that.
Yeah.
How do you manage that?
We just, you know, we recommend, so we don't mandate anything, but we recommend just, you know, storing them safely, you know, putting them away altogether. So whatever the family, you know, we recommend, this is what, because dementia, poor impulse control, agitation doesn't always balance out.
This was a big issue, and it's a thing about, it's police officers, or you have to get really trained folks to come and de-gun her father with dementia's house, but how to do that safely. I mean, like, I don't know anything about guns. Don't send me in to take
out. We provide a lot of gun locks at the VA, which is wonderful. And then, and our team's just very, once again, skilled with recommending, you know, what's the best way within this situation. Mm-hmm. So, I could just talk on and on about all the wonderful things, but I know we're out of time.
Well, we have a few minutes left, so I will, and I'm like, oh gosh, I want to move the energy from guns to this. I've been asking this question recently, and I think it's a fun question, but especially for those that, like you, who are sort of deep on the front lines of what can be a really complex condition. Well, can be, it is. And so what gives you hope for the future, whether it's hope for the future in terms of programmatically, or hope for the future in terms of dementia care, or hope for the future in terms of the weather, I don't know. What gives you hope, Carrie?
Well, that's a great question. I do think just seeing the kindness and compassion of your coworkers, and also of the caregivers, and the capacity that people, you know, for love and care that people have for one another, even though they're going through very difficult situations. To me, that's very hopeful, and it kind of expands my heart. I'm not very well versed on all the different new, you know, treatments for dementia, so I can't speak to that. That's out of my scope.
There's
but too many. I know that there's a lot of those. But I do think that I think we're on the kind of the edge of learning a lot, and there's going to be a lot of need. And I love the dementia-friendly kind of aspects of either healthcare that are going on, or the community. Like, I know Orange County is a dementia-friendly community, and we have dementia-friendly businesses. So that's kind of a very hopeful thing for me, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you expand my heart.
I know.
It was right, Alicia. I'm so glad you two got to meet Carrie Patrick. I cannot thank you enough for coming on the Aging Well Together show and telling folks about the COACH program, the Caring for Older Adults and Caregivers at Home. Folks, if you would like to learn more about it, feel free to give Carrie a call at 919-286-0411, extension 176115. That's a lot of information, but with that, Carrie Patrick, thank you so much for coming on the Aging Well Together show.
Thank you. It's been so great. I was a little bit nervous, but I appreciate it.
Oh, you're a pro.
You're wonderful.
And it was
nervous
great.
Nervous energy went well.
Nothing to be nervous about with us. And a thank you also. One of the reasons why nobody should be nervous here is because we're in such a fun and quirky station. So lots of love to our station family at WCOM. And as always, thank you to the Orange County Department on Aging for sponsoring the Aging Well Together show, and to our listeners, you stay healthy, you stay well, and we will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.